The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. Our guest today is Sister Maria Michaela DeVozzo, and Sister is a member of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, in Gower, Missouri. Sister, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, it's nice of you to take some time. Tell me about yourself. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a little town just east of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Early on, Mass weekly, daily, grace before meals, that sort of thing?
Oh, yes. My parents were both very fervent converts. The faith was very much a part of our lives in the home and out of it. I was homeschooled all the way through. My parents were very dedicated in that respect. My mother loved to bring the liturgy into the home. She would do all kinds of little things, put quotes on the walls, and we always had an Advent calendar and an Advent wreath and novenas throughout the year. We always sang the Marian antiphons at lunchtime throughout the year. We had our daily rosary at night, and sometimes we would say the Office of Compline also in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
My father very early on instilled in us a great respect and love for the liturgy. We always went to the traditional Latin Mass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So very early on, the faith was my life.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful story. I joke sometimes about the Latin Mass. When I was an altar boy, the Mass was in Latin. And while I was an altar boy, it changed to the vernacular. All the altar boys were upset. We had to learn the thing in Latin, and 6 months later, then we had to relearn it in English, you know?
Oh, dear.
It was probably good training for us, actually, to hear it both ways. But was the religious part of your life part of your coursework in your homeschooling? Was there a religious part of that, or was it just infused in every part of your life, it sounds like?
It was infused in every part, but there was certainly religious training. One of my earliest memories was memorizing the Baltimore Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And then every year after that, there was always a religion course in different aspects of the faith. And
was it ever suggested to you that a religious vocation might be the way to go, or did they allow you to come to that on your own?
No. There were actually a lot of religious orders in Grand Rapids. So I grew up with nuns. My mom was very close with the Franciscans. I forget now their full name.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the Franciscans of the Eucharist or something
okay.
like that. They were a beautiful order, and we would go there for work days and things, help out. They had a farm. And then on the other side, there were Carmelites nearby, fully cloistered, and we would go there. They had bi-yearly novenas where girls could come and process around their church and give flowers to Our Lady while everyone else is singing and praying this novena. And it was very beautiful, and I loved to do that as a girl.
Mm-hmm.
But it never occurred to me that I could be one of them. I think a great part of that was that the Franciscans were all old. but also, there were very few religious who wore the full habit, a traditional habit.
And you do.
And there was, yes.
Right.
Yes. And there was no one around with traditional liturgy. Even particularly reverent liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always a very large part of my spiritual life.
I see. Were you homeschooled all the way up through high school?
Yes.
And then did you go further education after that?
I did not.
Okay.
No, by the time I entered high school, I knew that I wanted to be a nun, and so college was just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Knowing that you wanted this at such an early age, so it wasn't like a St. Paul moment, knocked off the horse, but when did it strike you, yeah, this is what I want to do?
I was about 14 years old.
Okay.
And for about a year or more, maybe, I had this worry, this worried little thought that maybe God wanted me to be a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that thought.
I hear that a lot in this program. I do hear that. I hear it a lot, sister. He's going to win, though, right?
Oh, yes. And so I was just in denial. I wouldn't let myself think about it. But then one day, a cousin of mine, to whom I was very close, announced to us that she was becoming a nun. And I was floored.
Mm-hmm.
I totally didn't understand. But fortunately, she was of a loquacious tendency and spent the next couple months telling me everything there was to know about nuns.
Mm-hmm.
By the time she left, I had unwittingly let down my barriers and stopped telling God no. And so he was able to break through, kick the door open, uh-huh. so to speak. And when she first sent her community's newsletter, there were pictures in there of a clothing and a profession ceremony. And I spent a long time looking at that little nun kneeling in the sanctuary with her arms raised. And I realized that she had something very real and very beautiful, and that I wanted it too.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have articulated at the time what that was, but I knew it was for me.
Yeah. Well, if you hold on to your story, we'll pick it up right there when we come back after a commercial break here on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling. Sister Maria Michaela DeVozzo is our guest. And Sister, you left off your story when you kind of thought, yep, you let your guard down. I might want to do this. At the urging of your cousin, was her upbringing very similar to yours?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Pretty much just the same.
All right.
Yeah.
What was your next step when you decided to give it a try?
Well, I was only 14, and so I just hung in there and waited out high school. There were times when it felt really long.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to have a serious prayer life and to get to know God. And for a long time, I thought of it as my own decision, as in I wanted to be a nun. This uh-huh. was something I wanted to do. But then a good friend of mine one day quoted our Lord's words, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you."
Mm-hmm.
And that very much struck me as I was familiar with the passage, but I'd never heard it in that context. And I realized, oh no, this is a divine call. This is not me deciding to be a waitress mm-hmm. or a nurse. And so I kind of stepped back a little bit and really opened my heart to what God's idea of this whole thing was and where he was going to lead me in that desire to consecrate myself to him.
Is it a humbling experience from the standpoint of, wait a minute, God is calling me? I would
oh, yes.
think it would be.
Oh, yes. Yes, and that hits one periodically throughout one's religious journey that, wow, God loves me and he desires me. He desires this intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
He desires intimacy with everyone, but it is a deeper intimacy that he
sure.
calls religious to.
I looked at some information. There's some beautiful pictures of your ceremony when you were entered online that I saw. They're beautiful pictures. People should take a look at them. Before we were over, I'll say the website in case people want to look at it. But your vows are obedience, as with any religious order, stability. But then I noticed this one, continual conversion of your life. So you're not a nun and it's over. You have to continue And certainly, I guess, prayer would be a huge part of that.
Yes. Yes, St. Benedict is a very insistent on the continual conversion of life. It's essentially a vow to keep the rule in all particulars at every moment for your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And to grow, like every moment we must grow and advance toward God and in holiness.
What's that old saying? If you're not moving forward, you're moving backward?
Exactly. And it is preeminently so in the religious life. Every breath must be a step forward. And it can be when you are following the rule exactly and uniting your whole life to our Lord.
How did you enter, and what was the process?
When I was 18, I had not spoken to anyone about my desire to be a nun, so I thought I had to, like, break this to my parents. So I asked if we could go out for lunch, and we went out, and at some point I took a deep breath. So if I, you know, want to go visit the Benedictines of Mary, you know, what should I do? You know, is that fine? And Mom's like, oh, yeah, you can just look up their phone number and give them a call. And then she changed the subject. I realized it was not a surprise to them at all.
They saw it coming.
Huh? Coming. Oh, yes.
Mother knows yes. best.
Yes.
Oh,
and they
great.
Were very, very supportive mm-hmm. and just on board at every moment.
Now, had you ever visited your cousin there?
Yes. Yes, a couple times. I'd been to both her clothing and her profession, and that was confirmed for me that, yes, this was for me.
You used the term clothing and profession. Tell me what each, obviously I know what profession is, but what's the clothing?
The clothing is the clothing in the habit. So
okay.
When you first join, you become a postulant, you just wear a little black dress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about a year. But then at the end of that year of probation, you're voted in to become a novice. And then there's the ceremony where you come in a wedding dress and your hair is cut. And then you go out and you're clothed in the holy habit of St. Benedict. And you get the white veil.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're a novice for 2 years. And then at the end of that, you're again voted on. And then you make simple vows as a professed, and you get a black veil. And then that's 3 years, 3 to 6 years in simple vows. And then again, you would make then solemn profession, and that's forever,
mm-hmm.
vows forever.
And you did that in 2019?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yes, I did.
What's it been like?
Very beautiful, hard, of course, at times, but very fulfilling, very full of joy. I'm glad at every moment that God has allowed me to give my life to Him completely in this way.
I noticed they use the word Ephesus quite a bit in the ceremony. Is there a symbolism there, or what?
Yes, this is the Abbey of Our Lady of Ephesus.
Okay.
We're the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles. And so our charism is very much directed toward priests. And we see ourselves as with Our Lady in Ephesus. She, after the Ascension, St. John took Our Lady and built her a house in Ephesus. And she lived there until her death, or until the Assumption.
Yes.
And she ministered to the church there and cared for St. John. And so we see ourselves as Our Lady was at Ephesus,
okay.
caring for priests.
And that gets into a lot of the work that you do, and we'll follow up with that when we come back after some station breaks, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for staying with us and hearing the story of Sister Maria Michaela Devozzo. Sister, something that obviously your order is the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, and a lot of service to people. Then explain what Benedictine hospitality is, because that's certainly one of your charisms.
Yes. our charism is specifically toward priests, but we do also have facilities for lay people to come and make retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And our church is always open for people to join us for the liturgy and for Mass. But specifically for priests, we have a retreat house that's reserved exclusively for clergy. We have lots of retreatants who come through. They find it extremely renewing and refreshing spiritually and physically. And we also, of course, pray for them in a very special way. We have a crucifix in the main room of the convent, at the foot of which every day we put a new ordination card of some priest, and then all of our prayers and works for the day are directed specifically towards that priest.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's beautiful. Well, then if a priest comes there for a retreat, let's say, your service takes care of, they can pray and
yes.
and concentrate
yes.
on not much else but praying, talking to God.
Yes. Yes, we cook for them, and the retreat house is quite luxurious, and there's a chapel, private chapel. They can say their Mass.
Mm-hmm.
We have quite a lot of property, and so there are trails outside and things they can walk around on, and it's very private, very private.
Praying in nature, nothing like it, for sure.
No.
You're not just from the United States. They're trickling in from all over the globe, from what I've read.
Yes. We have quite a few internationals now.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico, Holland, England, Germany. There's more in there. Oh, Lithuania.
Okay. How are they hearing about you? Websites or just word of mouth within religious communities?
Yes, a lot of them just get online and look for traditional religious communities. Some of them knew our music. Some of them through the Fraternity of St. Peter. But I think mostly they just get online
mm-hmm.
and type in
yeah.
traditional.
And it pops up. Well,
yep.
you mentioned music, and I know we, through the permission of Sister, our mother, we use some of the music here, and it's been really very highly thought of and awarded, I understand.
Yes, we've made quite a number of CDs now, always as a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
First to build the monastery, and then to build our Abbey Church. And now we're, again, building a monastery and church for our daughter house in southern Missouri. So we always make a new CD or two every time we start building again.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful charism because, it serves the purpose of raising money for structures and programs and such, but also those people will have those things forever, and it helps to enrich their faith life, I would guess.
It does. It does. We focus on the most beautiful music, and the angels always help us. We're always surprised by how it comes out. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, we sound like that. but no, we've had many people tell us how the music touches their lives and really enriches them.
What is your day like?
We rise at about 5 o'clock, and we immediately go to Matins in the church. Matins is the longest. It's considered the night office. It's the longest.
Okay.
It's about an hour. And then that's followed by a period of private prayer, and then the offices of Lauds and Prime. And then we have chapter where Mother Abbess, we pray for the souls of our benefactors, and Mother Abbess reads the prayer intentions that are sent to us. And then we have breakfast, and we go to work, and then we work for most of the morning, and then we have the office of Terce followed by Mass at about 11 o'clock. And that's followed by, well, in the summertime, we would have lunch after that.
Mm-hmm.
But during the fasting season, we would just have some free time and then more work. And then the office of Known at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then if we were fasting, we usually eat after Known.
Mm-hmm.
And then recreation, we have an hour of recreation every day. It's usually followed by more work. And then Vespers, and more private prayer after Vespers, and then Compline at about 8 o'clock, and we try and be in bed at 9.
That's a long day. And a busy day. Not a lot of, there is the hour of you know, recreation, but that's a busy day, a lot of prayer, and I'm sure a lot of reward to you.
Yes, it is a very full day. It does feel very long, though sometimes it's very short when you have a lot to do.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. In reading about when your profession, it was written that such days are when heaven truly reaches down to earth. And yes. That also said that when a new member comes in, it really brings a thrill to the heart of every nun. Now, you have been professed for, since 2019. Do you get that feeling now when someone new comes into the order?
Yes. Yes. It's always beautiful to see another mm-hmm. soul give herself completely. And we always drive a great deal of joy from the beautiful souls who come here. And even if they don't stay, it's always a joy to have known them.
They probably leave closer to God than they were when they walked in the door, I would guess.
Yes. Yes.
Well, sister, thank you so much. If someone wanted to contact you, how would you suggest that they is the best way to do it? You're in Gower, Missouri, Gower.
Yes, probably through the website. There's mm-hmm. a contact page.
Okay.
Either email or a mailing address is on there too.
Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles.
Yes.
All right.
.org.
.org. Oh, thank you for adding that. Appreciate that. Sister Maria Michaela Devozo, thanks very much for joining us on God Calling and sharing your beautiful story.
I'm honored.
All right. Thank you, sister, and thanks everyone who's listening. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.